Law firms mainly?
No, after I left the law firm, I decided I'd come home for a while, and so I decided afterwards I'd go back to Phoenix, and I considered that I had very good qualifications to get another job. Now, I could have gone back to them and asked for help, if they didn't have a position, they could probably help me get another job. But I decided I was going to do it on my own. So I went to an employment agency, and they said, "You have very good qualifications, but in this town they don't hire any Mexicans." And so I says,
Which
"Oh,
town? Where?
Phoenix."
In Phoenix?
"Oh, yes.
Yeah, but you've been working there."
That's right. They don't hire any Mexicans, and they don't hire any Indians. And she didn't say anything about blacks. I guess blacks were non-people. I don't know. And so that's another lesson I learned. Most people can't do everything on their own. You need someone to help you along this life. And so I took up a friend of mine who was a senator in the state legislature. Said if I ever was in town when the Senate was in session, and I needed a job, come and see him. So I did. From that agency, I went to the Senate. The legislature was in session, so I went and got a job with the Senate. Oh yeah.
Okay, so
So qualifications didn't mean anything. No, not really.
and you even told him that you had that
Well, no, I
experience?
had, you submit your resume,
Resume.
don't you? And
So you had already worked in the
I already
house.
worked for Cox, Lockwood and Lockwood Attorneys, which was a very prominent firm, and especially after they got the Lockwoods joined the firm. It was considered that Judge Lockwood, Alfred Lockwood, he was more an attorney's attorney. Attorneys would come to him and to consult with him. And Lorna, when she joined the firm, she had been working with I think some a government agency. This is during the war. And so when she decided to go into practice, and she came and joined her father and her Mr. Cox was the son-in-law. He was married to a Lockwood. And so, all that is, I presented my resume.
Right, and you had been working for a couple years?
Yeah, 2 or 3 years.
And this employment agency just made that statement that they would
That's
not
it.
try to get you a job.
Yes, I'd be wasting my time. So what do? You go out and starve? But anyway, and so later on, and these were, not. The legislature jobs were just for the term of the legislature, so it wasn't a permanent job. And after that, I went to work for the Industrial Commission. And then after that, I worked for ASU for several years in Tempe. And when I left there, I was in charge of the whole payroll for ASU, and I still wonder how I did that. But they gave me the job, so, they said, "Do it." And I said, "Well, okay, I'll do it."
Figure out how, huh?
And then after that, I went to work with a CIO, and I worked a year or two there. And then I went to work for the federal government, because by that time I figured that if anybody had a good retirement plan, it was the federal government. And oh, you can't tell you how many people told me not to go work with the federal government, that it was just a lousy place to work in or for or in or whatever. And so I did go to work with the federal government, and I stayed there for 30 years.
Wow.
I
So that
retired.
was your longest stint of employment.
Right. And so that's until I retired.
And what office did you work in?
I worked in with the Social Security Administration, and I was administrative assistant or executive assistant or secretary. They give all kinds of fancy names, but I was in the administrative part of it in Phoenix.
And where were you living in Phoenix during these years?
Well, first we moved the folks to Tempe. We purchased our home in Tempe, By that time, my brothers had come back from war, and Dora was back. You know, everybody was coming back, and schooling was important and all that. So we moved to Tempe so that those of us who could take advantage of going to college. And so we lived in Tempe for a while, and then we lived there several years, and then in the early 60s we had a house built in South Phoenix, and we lived there for about 30 years or something.
Wow. So you continued to live with your siblings, with your sisters?
Yes, uh-huh.
Oh.
Yeah, we took, my father died when we were living in Tempe, and then my mother died when we were living in Phoenix.
Mm-hmm. By South Mountain?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yeah, right on 40th and Baseline.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Did you ever consider marrying?
Well, yeah, but that didn't happen.
It just didn't happen,
yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. I don't think you ever discount any of life experiences, but it just didn't happen.
Uh-huh. Yeah. What about community activities in Phoenix? Was there a certain church you went to?
Or? Well, yes, I'd go to a Catholic church.
Any particular
wherever.
Parish?
Well, in Tempe, we went to Mount Carmel. And in Phoenix, it was St. Catherine. And then it was Holy Family.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we did that. And the only thing that was wrong with working with the federal government is that I was restricted in the political activities that I could participate in, and so I would help in the areas that I was able to help.
Mm-hmm.
And
so you really couldn't petition?
No, I couldn't do anything. And so after I retired, I said, "Great, now I am free." Well, you know, the law is it's a good law, because I could, but I can see where it could be abused both ways. But anyway, when I retired, then I said, "Well, now I can do whatever I want as far as politics." And Dora was always very active in lots of things, and so about that time, this Gosnell incident started in the. I guess early 80s, and so one of the things that we were doing was carrying petition, and that was the most frightening experience I've ever had. You'd think that you carry a petition and the citizen will sign it or not sign it according to how they feel about it,
mm-hmm.
and that would be the extent of it. I did not expect to have people come and harangue me and harangue the person that was going to look at the petition and do everything in their power to prevent that petition from being signed by mm-hmm. this citizen. And that happened. Oh, that was a very frightening experience.
Would they threaten you physically?
Well, by implication. And one time it got so bad that Dora got permission to set up tables at the courthouse building. And it was something that they don't do. I mean, they don't allow that, because she says many times these controversial issues go into court. And but they did allow us, because very few people were letting us set up our tables to gather names. And so I remember being there at the courthouse, and this man coming up and getting as close as he could to me and telling me he knew where I lived. And I had been talking to another person that had just signed the petition. And this other person heard him. And then they got into a fight. It was really bad.
So were they hired by Gosnell to
threaten
you?
That's what we understand. You know, we would set up tables and in within a few minutes, we would be surrounded. We used to call them Gosnell goons. And we never had, and so we later found out that Gosnell had a lot of people on the lookout for us. because we didn't have, there wasn't a schedule, you know, we didn't have a schedule that today we're going to be at this place, tomorrow we're gonna, or at this time. Mm-hmm. So we heard that, you know, all these subcontractors and employees of subcontractors and all that were on the lookout for us. And so if they'd see us, they'd call somebody, and within a few moments, we'd be surrounded. Wow. And this was all over the Phoenix.
So you were fighting to preserve South Mountain.
Uh-huh.
And Gosnell wanted to develop it.
Yeah, he wanted a lot of acres. I mean, it's a long, long fight. He wanted a lot of the land, and he wanted to exchange it for this. But initially, he wanted a foot into that mountain preserve, which he eventually got. He didn't get it all, but what I remember is that land was donated to the citizens of Phoenix for a park, and by the federal government, and by what happened, you know, by Gosnell getting his foot into the breaking, he broke that deed, or whatever it is, he invaded it, and so now it's easier for developers to break those deeds that the government has issued, deeding us land. Hmm. So, I don't know.
And who was Dora, the leader of this petition?
Oh, she started the whole thing.
She started the whole thing.
Yeah, so when she would go to these council meetings, and so one day she saw Mr. Cox there, and so she knew what, you know, he was also against what was happening. So, and that's where the relationship that we established when we were very young with this family helped both sides, because he was, Dora called him up, and boy, there was no stopping them until, you know, at the end. And so anyway, that was a very frightening experience. So you do have to fight for your rights in this world.
That was during the 1980s?
Uh-huh, that's the 1980s.
And when did it end?
Well, it went to the Supreme Court one or two times, I don't know.
The Maricopa County?
State Supreme Court.
Yeah.
And I guess the whole thing lasted about 3 or 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
There was an election that was held, and we won. The proposition was to, I forget the technicality, so that the city of Phoenix couldn't just arbitrarily make deals with anybody, you know, with the land that belonged to the citizens. They had to put it to the vote of the people if the amount of money involved was X amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was a proposition that was passed. So after that, any time the city of Phoenix wanted to do any kind of trade-off or selling property that belonged to the city, they have to go to the mm-hmm. get the vote of the people.
Mm-hmm. So you were doing that when you were in your 60s. You know, what year did you retire?
I retired in
1984.
So I was, what, 61, something like that.
What did your father say when you told him about how they had made that statement that they didn't hire any Mexicans?
I don't remember telling him.
I imagine
I don't remember telling
bad.
Him. But I remember one time he told me, when I was working with in the legislature, I remember one time he told me that Mr. McGowan, who was one of the sponsors, because you had to have a sponsor, what they call sponsors to get these jobs. Anyway, they did in those days. And one of them had to be the one from your district. And so Mr. McGowan was from my district, and he and Mr. Robles were the ones that hired me. And so my father said, he'd been talking to Mr. McGowan one day, and Mr. McGowan was telling him, you know, what a great job I was doing.
Great.
So, you know, your folks do get feedback on you.
Yeah, and you were building some connections there through your work that would help you, I'm sure, when you went to get other jobs.
Oh, yes.
Even though they were so prejudiced at that employment agency.
Oh, yes. But you have some ideals, and you think, well, I wasn't too surprised. I was surprised when she told me that. But I guess I was more realistic than I thought I was, because I thought, well, you know, I can do all this. You know, I have all these skills. Mm-hmm. And they say that's what matters. If you can do the work, they'll hire you.
Right.
And then after I retired, I joined the Arizona Historical Society and the Phoenix Museum of History.
Great.
And the Desert Caballeros Museum when we moved here.
Uh-huh.
And
are you all a member of Arizona First Families too?
And Arizona First Families, we joined that. And together with my brother and sisters, we established an endowment at ASU. And that was in 1989.
What's it called?
We named it after our parents, Jose Franco and Francisco Campo Quesada Endowment. And so that happened in 1989. And then here, and of course we established this artifacts and photographs and manuscripts that we have donated to ASU from family papers and things. And then here at in Wickenburg, we've donated artifacts to this museum, family artifacts. And we've also established a fund in the name of our aunt Marcella, who was born and lived and worked all her life here in Wickenburg.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, so we have that established at the this museum.
Uh huh. Is that your mother's sister?
Mm-hmm. Her baby sister.
Mm-hmm. That's great. So you all really have a sense of your history.
Yes. We think it's important that the presence of Mexican-American people be acknowledged. We've been, you know, sort of ignored. You know, you see a phrase here, another phrase someplace else, but as part of the history of the development of this country, Mexican-Americans were a great part of it.
Oh, sure.
And so it depends on who's writing the history.
Oh, right. Right. Well, I wrote my dissertation on ranch and farm women in southern Arizona and included Mexican-American women.
Mm-hmm. And there were a lot of them there.
Oh,
I mean,
sure.
There's a lot of Mexican-American people in that part of Arizona, more so than in this part, I believe. I don't know. I mean, at least you read more about them.
In
Tucson.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, further south. It was a little closer. But your grandfather's name is very familiar. I know I've read that name before.
Ramon Valencia?
Ocampo. Yeah. Yeah. Was he a freighter? Did he do any freighting?
Well, he might have, you know. He might have. We don't have any documentation on them. All we know is what we were told.
Mm-hmm.
All we know.
He's mentioned in that book, the New Arizona History book by Sheridan. Have you looked at that?
A new one?
There's a fairly, like in the last 3 or 4 years.
I read one entitled Arizona.
Yeah.
I read that one. I don't remember seeing his name there.
Oh, I know. That name is really familiar, and I'm not sure from where. Might have just been from archives, that there might be material on him in different archives.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that some of these first families, they are getting discussed in the history books more.
Yes, they are now. They are. Yeah. I told. I was at that historical meeting where he was when he was signing his Arizona, the book Arizona was just published. So he was had some there for sale. So I bought one, and I said, you have to do one on Wickenburg. And what was it, about a couple of years ago, Mark Fry, do you know him?
Yeah, I know him.
He did a book on Wickenburg.
Oh, yeah. Did you talk to him?
Oh, yeah. Well, Dora did a lot of, had a lot of conversations with him. And but Tom Sheridan was reviewed his work.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought that was neat.
Yeah. Were you happy with
good.
The book?
Oh yes, He did a very good job.
Good.
Yeah, it was long overdue, and you know, from there someone else can continue. At mm-hmm. least they have a good basic book to work from.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, do you know where any of those photos of the picnics are?
Well, let me see.
Oh. Ooh.